Welcome in to the KSR Football Podcast. Nick Roush and Adam Luckett here with you, hanging out on a Monday night to get you ready for National Signing Day. It's a busy time around the Big Blue Nation. We're going to be taking your questions on KS Board, talking about some of the prospects the Cats are adding on Wednesday, the latest intel from the transfer portal, and a whole lot more. But Luckett, I got to start. We were going to have... I mean, technically, it's a 6-0 start. But I told people on Twitter, X going to give it to you this morning, ride with the Monarchs. ODU is the right play here. Western's got a bunch of opt-outs. They're going to be a dead man walking. And you know what? I was right until I wasn't, because anybody that says that bowl season's bad luck, it just show them that game. And if they don't like that game, they can get the hell out of here. That was crazy.
Yeah. That is up there for maybe in the last decade, one of the most memorable bowl games that I've watched. And WKU already had one of those in that Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah.
With the Hail Mary or whatever. I mean, that was pretty wild. Old Dominion, like Ricky Ronnie, like how do you lose that game, man? Lose that game?
I know you shouldn't fire somebody, but I think it was 5 turnovers forced, if I'm not mistaken. They were up 28.
4 in the first half, yeah.
They were up 28. Then they were up by 21 in the fourth quarter. It was great, too, because it was on a Monday. It was sponsored by something we had never heard of. And so you capped off a 28-point comeback with a win in overtime, back-to-back blocked kicks. Either one, I guess the second one couldn't have sealed it. And then you celebrate by just partying and a bunch of toast. Like, it was the most bowl game bowl that's ever bowled. The Western Kentucky Billy's watch party was happening underneath KS Bar, and I was cheering for the Monarchs the whole way, shouting upstairs when they're making big plays. And my man Scoots just mushed it. He mushed a bet so hard. It was the point where he texted and said, thanks for the tip. And I said, Scoots, it's just the fourth quarter. It's 28-0. This thing is safe. It is locked up. ODU -5. He's even saying in the second half. And it just, whew, man. What, as you like to say, Mr. Luckett, what a sport.
Fourth and goal from the 16. Converts, third-string quarterback. I mean, just incredible.
Shout out to Caden Veldkamp, though. South Warren product. Yeah. That was a...
It was a cruddy name a couple cycles ago. People talked about. Sure. Yeah.
So, wild start to bowl season, but we're not counting that in official picks. I guess we'll give out some more picks this week whenever we figure out time. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow, Luckett, but that's neither here nor there. If you want to get in on the action with these bowl games, with Monday Night Football that's happening, lots of football all the time, everywhere, almost every day. I think Wednesday's our only day off. Just download the Prospects app. It's very easy daily fantasy sports. You pick your squares. You go for a little bit more. You go for a little bit less. You string together a couple wins, and you can win big. Just download the app, promo code KSR. They're going to match your first deposit 100% up to $100. Win big with Prize Picks this bowl season, where they're happening all the time. 2:30 on a Monday. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. So go ahead. Make sure you got the Prize Picks app ready to rock, ready to roll, and win some dough today. Luckett, we're here to preview National Signing Day.
Nick, are you ready for the draft in the middle of free agency while we get ready for the postseason? It would just finish the coaching carousel.
Well, we didn't really even finish the coaching carousel. I mean, I guess we have, but...
Oh, yeah, I mean, we've got... whatever's going on over there at Kentucky. Taking a month to hire a coach that they've probably known for a while. So, which they're busy. Mark's, I mean, they got a lot of stuff going on.
That's what they do. They just take a month. It's like, all right, we know Liam Cohen's going to come back. 7 weeks later, he's hired. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's just, it's sad, really, that, like, signing day is here and it's here. I mean, it's nothing. It's almost, I mean, I'm not going to say it's not a blip on the radar, but it's not what it should be.
Kentucky's essentially,
that sucks.
taken the approach like we're gonna make this. It's I mean, there's so little drama. Usually, you had a couple guys late, and you know, we'll get into a few where there are maybe some late battles, but I mean, it's almost like, all right, let's get everybody good and locked up early. So like December, we'll just focus on the portal.
Yeah, Iowa. I was listening to a podcast this week, trying to see like who are they going to hire at offensive coordinator. Paul Chryst has got some buzz there, just FYI. But on that podcast, they had they had the guy, that guy I had Iowa on three, Tom K. Kurt, I believe his name. Yeah, I think that's right. He was on there and was pretty much like, yeah, they've just had every commit since July. They haven't added anyone. They've just had their class. And Kirk's not going to do the search until after the bowl game's over. I mean, it's just like, we complain, but they've got nothing. I mean, everything, the hay's in the barn. And Kentucky's, it's kind of similar. They're not doing anything in the portal right now. Iowa isn't. And so that's where they're at. And then here, yeah, it's just weird. It's very, very strange, but it is what it is.
Especially because, you know, we're probably more into it I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to signing day before I started this job. And then
it's just a celebration. I mean, it's the biggest day of the off season. And it was like that for a long time.
You even had like a whole month of January for like a lot of guys were committed, but then you spent the month kind of getting to know them. Like you'd interview these kids, you'd write stories on them. And like, it was just everything kind of built towards it. Cause you finally, like, the season was actually over, so you were looking forward to what's next. And now, it's just, it happens all so fast. Like, between your Rusty Manziels, your Matt Zenitzes, your Pete Nakoses of the world, Chris Hummers, like, dude, what are these, do they sleep? Like, I don't know how they're like, it's like the dude from Red Zone, whose name
is Scott Hansen.
They're basically Scott Hansen for a month straight, where it's just like, just can't no breaks. Because if I do, something's gonna happen. I mean, it's anarchy, absolute anarchy.
Yeah, it needs to be fixed. To have all of this in a 2 week time window, essentially, it's insanity. It's utterly insane. And then if they're going to have these classes locked up in July,
just sign them in.
Can we do something on August 1st? Like before the season starts.
You also brought up on Twitter too, why are they having a dead period for portal visits when kids are still entering the portal? Like, what?
Well, then they can start visiting again January 3rd. But that just creates another crunch because the winter semester starts, so you probably have to. Now, what Big Z has taught us is these rules are meant to be broken when it comes to getting guys in school, but you want to get them in here for spring practice and at least for your winter conditioning workouts, right? Because they're here to play football, like Brock Vandergriff told Jacob Polacek. And so you want it to happen pretty fast, and then it just puts you on a time crunch again instead of maybe letting them visit it right now. But hell, they need the time off to prepare for this bowl game or the bowl games people are playing, right? Yeah, like there's been a no time with the team.
I know everything is much different at the G5 level, but like I know some people, they even have their National Signing Day headquarters like in a hotel ballroom while they're getting ready for the game.
I think the portal has helped them out in the regards that the Kentuckys and the other second-tier SEC programs are not necessarily poaching their class like they used to, right? Yeah. There was always Kentucky would go flip a late G5 guy or something. Like, you know, they're late. Yannick Smith is a guy they recruited who's committed to East Carolina. 5 years ago, he probably ends up in Kentucky's class, but they're looking portal instead. Guys like that, so I think maybe they're more like I talked about Iowa. I think most of their class is just locked up, right? And I think they move down at that level. Those people move slower. Our people, those schools, programs move slower, I think, in the portal because It's similar to NFL free agency, and the big dogs go first, right? Mm-hmm. Like the, and then you kind of have the trickle down effect where you get into tier B, tier C, tier D free agents, and that's kind of how it works to me in the portal. You had the big guys getting in first, and that's who everyone's trying to figure out. Quarterback's a big one, right? Like, yeah. Whoever's going to pay Cam Ward millions of dollars, they're going to have to figure out how much money they left have left after they pay him to go after other players. And so I think there's a trickle-down effect to that, and I think that works its way to the G5. So they're probably more operating January 3rd, that and then in the spring. So I think that's probably how that plays out for them. Would be how I would think it kind of works there.
We've already got,
because look at the Kentucky guys who are going to go G5. They haven't gotten picked up by anyone yet, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Like you're looking at Grant Bingham, potential Martez Thrower. Those are probably G5 type players, just as an example, and they haven't been picked up yet. I just think that moves a little slower for them.
Makes sense. We've already got some great questions pouring in. I want to get to the ones on KS board, but Derek brings up a good point, because we're seeing this a lot on the message board, and I think it is clear to state kind of how things work, because he brings up that Ole Miss is killing it in the portal, and Matt G just wanted to know how our class stacks up against the rest of the SEC. And I think it's important to note that there's a lot of anytime a kid commits, you just forget about the guys that you got because there's a more recent one, right? Like, it's very much a kid on Christmas. The next present is the best one. And that's, I think, the mindset of a lot of folks, because I think it might have changed. But before, like Sunday morning, I want to say that only Ole Miss and South Carolina had more portal additions than Kentucky. And Kentucky's got high-quality guys as well. I hadn't done the math as of late, but the 1-3 portal tracker goes incoming and outcoming based on how they rank their guys. Kentucky's been in the top five. Now they're eighth, I want to say, in there. So I heard you kind of talking out loud there. But long story short, I think it's done pretty well. And I think there's also something that you've got to remember too. You mentioned it with quarterbacks. Because there's a lot of people, why aren't they going after top flight edges? Why is Ole Miss getting all the edges? You're dealing with a salary cap, or we don't know what the cap.
Like, yeah, that's the bit. That's the hardest part of all of this to me. And why we don't know. It's really frustrating to cover and follow because of that. Because
you don't know what cap space is available. But what we do know is that they signed two offensive tackles last year and a quarterback. They signed a quarterback, a high school quarterback. They're trying to get an offensive tackle from the portal. I don't know what's going to happen there. That's the one big mystery remaining. But then they're also really invested in top flight edge talent in the high school recruiting class. Like, you can't get a top flight edge from the portal and a top flight edge from the recruiting class. One, it didn't make sense even before Neil. But two, from salary cap purposes, those are your big three positions. They take up a lot of cap space in your budget. And I think that's one thing that, like, you just you have to be cognizant of it, even though, like, we can't be Adam Schefter here and talk to you about, well, they've only got so much room for dead cap. And, like, you know, you hear that kind of those talking points during the offseason. And NFL fans can accept that because they know the numbers. We don't know the numbers, but there is kind of, you know, you only got so much money to go around, right? And I think that's what we saw with some of these late defections. You know, Elijah Groves is one in particular. Lorenzo Cowan might have been that as well. I mean, isn't just as much as anything, is they had a lot of edges too. Kind of guys in cutting the same cloth. So
you had to pay a quarterback this cycle.
You had to pay a high school and a portal quarterback.
You had to pay a quarterback. And that takes a sizable chunk of your available money pie.
You're like, signing one instead of drafting one too. Like,
you you're paying the Kirk Cousins franchise tag tax, right? Yeah. So you just have to remember that in this. I think you got to move slow on this, and you also got to look at scholarship distribution to me, Nick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, They've got 800 edges on this team next year, right? And
like, some of them got to be good. Like the guys, one of them has to be good.
Guys, J.J. Weaver hasn't announced yet. Like, okay, if he's here on the team, they're not going to go get an edge. I mean, they might go get maybe like swing on maybe a G5 guy that maybe could bend the corner, right? Uses like a specialist, like a Dave Rimmerainer type addition at that position. But I don't, you know, I don't see that happening right now. I just think they've got other needs and they're addressing those. But it's hard to say they have this or that, Nick. We just don't know. I mean, they're playing with Monopoly money as far as we know. I mean, like it's hard to handicap and predict and put context around and project because you just don't know. To me, at the end of the day, it's like add good football players you're going to start for your team. Like if you're doing that, like don't overthink it. If they add starters, they get 4 or 5 starters out of this class. All right, good job, guys.
Yeah.
And let's move on. I mean, and if we really want to, we'll get into it in the offseason, but I mean, nothing really matters unless Brock Vandegrift is good. Because they could face a gauntlet next year. I mean, South Carolina could get Malik Murphy, who wasn't great as a starter this year, but someone people are really high on, or they could get KJ Jefferson, who's finally in the portal now. So we don't know. They can have a great quarterback situation or a good quarterback situation.
I loved when I was hearing the AJ Swan stuff, where I was like, "Oh yeah, go there, yeah. AJ."
Yeah. So I mean, we just don't know. You just kind of have to play out the string here, and that's what's hard with the portal. It's because you have two big windows, right? I think it's important to remember who Kentucky added in that second window last year. Now, that one, Nick, that one to me feels like less NIL totally driven, that second window, because you're dealing with more type of
role players.
Kind of guys stepping up, or guys who didn't play somewhere else, right? So, Ben Chrisman, guys like Jansen Dunn, guys like that. And those are more depth adds, wherein I think more of the early one, you're looking for more starters. So, like, just this one example, they added three starters. And then Raymond Cottrell is more of a long-term play. But they got three starters. I think early on you're looking for starters, and that's where most of your money is going. Correct. And then after that, then you fill in whatever the rest of your needs are. And Mark Stoops addressed that last week when he talked about how it's nice that, you know, you have another portal window, so you have time to kind of do some trial and error to see what you have in the spring and see if you need maybe – come back and revisit something.
Well, we need to somewhat redirect our attention. We'll get to the most recent stuff, but did want to remind you, though, that we are brought to you by Justice Dental. Great friends over at Justice Dental. Visit them online, justicedental.com. Book your appointment. It's easy. It's convenient. It's your one-stop shop for all your dental needs. Whether you're trying to get your teeth straightened out, trying to get your teeth pulled out, trying to get your teeth cleaned, they got you covered. Doc Thompson, Doc Justice, they're the best in the business. 2 locations in Lexington. Very convenient. JusticeDental.com. Give them a try today. So let's just talk about the late ads, right? You mentioned the 4 right there that Kentucky did get. We got some surprising news with Trevin Wallace announcing early that he's entering the NFL draft. And I don't want to say Kentucky urged him. I don't think that was the case. But I think if he was on the fence and leaning one way, they were just like, dude, don't let us play this limbo game. Like
the draft results were going to be bad this year if Trevin didn't go. That gives him another draft pick. Not to say that's why he went, but we were looking at Ray Davis at the combine, Nick, and then we would have just been, hey, yeah. You know, maybe Andrew Phillips is there, but Jeremy Flax, I could see him getting up to the combine, but like,
yeah,
the draft this year it's my draft guide for KSR might not be too deep.
Yeah, might be 500 words. But Trevin ultimately decides, like, I think this was always a part of his plan, and even though the production wasn't quite there this year, like, he got off the hot start, got a little banged up, and then struggled. I really wanted to see him go, you know, come back for another year, but if you would have gone, they didn't want this to be February and he announces, right? Like, if you think you're going to go, just go and we'll find somebody.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Less than 12 hours later, Jamon Dumas Johnson is on campus for an official visit. He was an All-American in 2022 at Mike Linebacker. Dick Butkus Award finalist as one of the three inside linebackers in the country. And first and foremost, this could be huge if they land this guy, right? But I do think it is important to note that he is much more of a Mike Linebacker, north-south run stopper. He doesn't play the way Trevin plays, going side to side. He's kind of the yin to Trevin's yang. But he still had some pretty decent havoc stats, just blitzing A-gaps like he did this year against Kentucky. But a really quality player who was an All-American, and you just don't find those out there. Like, you just – I'm not to say they would have just lucked into this, but he visited Auburn on Sunday, and – who is it that wants him in January? Wants him to hold off and wait till January? I doubt that'll
happen. Florida State.
Yeah, I mean,
it's in there.
Like, I don't know why you would wait and visit. Like, if you want to go to Florida State, just go to Florida State. You know, whatever.
Just to compare this in NFL terms, this guy's a cap casualty. He gets hurt.
Yeah.
They bring a top 100. They bring a top 100 recruit, C.J. Allen, true freshman off the bench. He plays well. He looks like the future at Georgia. Mm-hmm. If they bench him, or if he's number two in the spring, C.J. Allen, they risk that he could leave.
Yeah.
So they're taking I'm sure they had a conversation with Jamon Dumas Johnson. It was pretty much like, C.J.'s going to be open the starter spring football, and you're going to be kind of our third linebacker. And Dumas Johnson's maybe thinking, I don't want to do that, so I'm out of here. So it's not necessarily a guy Georgia wants to lose. Now, Nicky was a second-team All-American. I'm not sure he was a top-five linebacker in the country that year. But when you talk about picking All-American teams, but there's no denying he's one of the best linebackers in that, off-ball linebackers in the SEC. Good in the box. He's got enough athleticism, I think, to play out. Get outside and do stuff you want him to do. Pass coverage, I think he's pretty solid. Like, Nick, to me, from of-the-moment impact, this would be up there with Wandell Robinson and Devin Leary as far as a transfer portal recruiting win for Kentucky. Like, that's how big – like, it'd be like, oh, Kentucky got that guy. That's a big deal. This guy is no doubt plug-and-play starter on defense.
Yeah. 75, he's going to be one of the better, 90 tackles. Yeah.
And he's going to be a draft pick. And when he goes in the third or fourth round, it'll say, Jamon Dumas Johnson, Kentucky. And so this is potentially a big get for Kentucky. And, like, the leadership vibes, he was a leader on that defense.
Yeah.
And De'Eric Jackson is a quiet kid, right?
Yeah.
He's not the vocal kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I think this would be a great guy to pair with him because he could come in and kind of be your – I think he's a better version of Jaquez Jones, really. I think that's what he could be for this defense, and it would be as good as you could do after losing to Trevin Wallace. You can make the argument this guy's been a better college football. He has. He's been a better college football player than Trevin Wallace.
Yeah.
So that would be a really, I think, good get. And I do like Kentucky's strategy here, Nick, what we're seeing in the portal. At least so far, like SEC Big Ten flavor, these are the best two leagues.
Yeah.
And you're getting guys who are, you know, have been in this league, maybe weren't good to play at a juggernaut. Let's get them in our system. Take a chance with them. And I like that strategy for Kentucky because if you're Kentucky, you're not trying to beat Ohio State and Georgia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Want to beat Missouri. Want to beat South Carolina. Want to beat Tennessee.
Right.
Want to beat Florida again. Now, those are the games you want to win. And so let's get some of these guys because they got a pretty good roster over there in Athens. And if some of these guys, good players are leaving, let's take advantage of a cap, you know, salary cap casualty. Really, and I think he's a guy that if you were going to spend money, yeah. I wouldn't advise spending a ton of money like the Chicago Bears at off-ball linebacker. But I think this guy's probably worth spending for a 1-year deal because that's where you're going to have him. And so if you got the money, make it happen. I think he can fill a huge need for you as you kind of rebuild the reserves there in that linebacker room.
Oh, you recruited a ton from the high school ranks. Like, you just have to.
Yeah. Devin Smith and Grant Godfrey are two kids I really like. Mm-hmm. And I think are going to be starters here. I think Grant Godfrey needs to play inside linebacker. But I'm not a coach or a scout. But, like, those guys long term, I would be willing to bet on. So, like, this buys you time, I think, to get them kind of ready, right? And then to find – and you have the third right there with Rainer. I think that's, you know, a good three there for Kentucky. And then if you can find – you can develop some of that depth. You'll see if Javon Brown played on special teams a lot. So there's some trust built there with him. And so they'll just see where they can get. But I think this guy would be a really good fit, and I think he would play a big role if Kentucky can get him. It's a significant recruitment. And if they land him, he's the biggest defensive player, biggest recruiting win in the transfer portal era they've gotten, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah, I can't. I mean, I can't. None come to mind defensively.
Yeah, you're talking Keedron Smith, Jaquez Jones.
Yeah, really Keyshawn Silver had a high high school rating, but nobody.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Him
when Kentucky, he didn't play. Right.
Right.
That was a good eval for Kentucky. I mean, he's going to be a multi-year starter here.
Yeah. But to get back to it, the hard part about Dumas Johnson too is there. He's not very chatty. Folks around him aren't very chatty. So trying to get a good read, like you basically are playing poker hands with how coaching staffs feel about certain players. And, you know, good luck reading through those tea leaves. But I would anticipate that we're going to hear something in the next 24, 36 hours. So you won't have to wait too long to find out more. Somebody worried about Hugh Freeze being the cheater that he is. I mean, Hugh Freeze was cheating when cheating was illegal. Now everybody, it's perfectly above board. So he doesn't have that extra card working in his hand this time around. So we'll see how all that plays out. Kentucky also hosted a couple of offensive linemen. Once again, I can't get a good read if anything's going to happen there or not. Because they had the Arkansas kid last week, Devin Manuel. And then Florida's Jalen Farmer, who Kentucky had a shot with in the high school ranks, but the coaching turnover there kind of cost him. So I don't know. What you're just kind of like, well, maybe they have a shot, but I don't really know. All the guys we've heard about are just kind of going elsewhere with the offensive line. So that doesn't sound
Yeah, right. Most of the guys on KSR's big board that are at tackle have committed somewhere else. Montavious Cunningham, Virginia Tech. Carter Smith went back to Indiana, which is one I really liked. Really hoped they could get him, but that's not going to happen. Drew Azzopardi, committed to Washington today. Nick Spencer Brown, Michigan State guy who entered early, who I think Kentucky showed some early interest in. He ended up at Oklahoma. Jonathan Mendoza was a guy they were kicking the tires on, committed to Louisville. And then Howard Sampson today also committed to TCU, and he was a guy they offered from North Texas. So, yeah, guys are coming off the board fast. Devin Manuel's a name. Michael Tarquin's a name. But that's kind of where we stand right now. You know, Jalen Farmer's a guard. And then Luke Newman was a tackle who I don't believe he's committed anywhere. A Holy Cross transfer that was linked to Kentucky. And that's just where we're at right now. I mean, the early returns on the tackle recruiting is not super promising, I would say.
No.
Which has kind of been a theme.
Yep. We're going to see that when we talk about some of the high school kids as well. Which might as well go ahead and talk about the high school kids. I mean, National Signing Day is technically for them. And Kentucky's currently got 20 commitments in the 2024 class. And let's check the latest rankings. 23rd still. Holding strong there. Which we're going to talk more at length about. We're going to kind of give them their shine on Wednesday. But it is, you like the top half. Like there's some, you can see some future starters developing from this group, and then they're taking a lot of chances on trade. So we'll get more into that later, but as far as potential late adds, Cam Dooley is a former Missouri commit that's going to be announcing on Wednesday, And things are trending in the right direction for Kentucky in that regard. So, you know, there could be at least one actual something on signing day for you like it. I don't know if Stoops is going to hold up the presser so he can get the piece of paper, though, and say it like,
yeah, I don't think we're going to have Keontae Goodwin level of intrigue on Wednesday.
No, don't. Which, man, you want to talk about a strange 24 hours that was.
That was thank a busy day for Jim, you.
Thank
it's
God.
Close to your house.
Yeah, because if not, like, God.
Yeah. Yeah, Nick, Kentucky 27th in average star rating in On3's industry ranking. It's 14th in the SEC, ahead of Mississippi State and Vandy. 13 of the top 25 classes are in the SEC. I mean, this is just what Kentucky it's is different. Up against.
Yeah. I want to apologize to our watchers on YouTube. I keep making a weird face. It's because I'm, like, holding back yawns where you're just like. So I'm gonna just apologize in advance. The driving through the snow, a little bit more taxing than normal. So I'm going to blame it on that. We had bowl prep. A lot of stuff going on there. I loved Liam Cohen just – basically, everybody just taking a big dump on the ACC because they should. The ACC is a garbage conference, and all these yokels who are just like, oh, ACC's record against other teams, blah, blah, blah. They don't play real football. But I love the Clemson's built like an SEC team, not like the rest of the teams in that league. Like they actually have depth in the trenches. They have good players in there, which is why, you know, Uncle Jeff can get a bunch of G5 guys because they, you know, they're good until they play legit Power 5 corners. Jamari Thrash beating press against Florida State and Miami. Clemson? No. Can't against the rest of those guys, though. So, big ol' suck it to Louisville. I know the Cards are eating some headlines, but they're the worst. We need to talk about another rival, though, Luckett, because another development that happened Thursday when our friends at VolQuest reported that Willie Rodriguez was in fact taking an official visit to Tennessee for the final recruiting weekend of the calendar year. And when Willie was tweeting out offers from Tennessee and Auburn late, we were told, ah, don't worry, you know, and we kind of got the impression that it was almost like Vince was wanting him to just kind of like, hey, show everybody that like all these schools want you, but they can't have you. Well, it turns out there was a little bit more interest than we initially thought. He ends up making it to campus despite the big dog going and paying an in-home visit up there on Thursday. Are you concerned at all about a late flip from Willie Rodriguez to Tennessee?
Yes. But I think if I had to pick right now, I think Kentucky would be the pick. Jeffrey Lee of Auburn on 3 is even reporting that Auburn is trying to push to him to delay so they can get him on campus in January, so not to sign in December. He took an official visit, I mean, yeah, 5 days before signing. And Kentucky went up there, Nick, talked to him, and he went anyway. And that visit was to probably try to stop that, I would imagine. So, I mean, we'll see. I think if I had to pick right now, I'd say Kentucky, but there is some worry there.
Yeah, and part of the, like, if you try to get all the dots out there on your scatter plot and then connect them, right? One thing you got to remember is Kentucky slow played this recruitment. And yes. Arkansas, South Carolina, some other schools offered him.
Virginia Tech, Purdue.
Yeah. And Cats were a little bit later. They go up there. They issue the offer, you know, right away. And I think he's on campus for an official visit a couple weeks later with Cutter Bowley and co. And I think Cutter and the other guys, I don't want to say peer pressure, but, you know, you kind of – it's easier.
I think Kentucky pushed for that commitment. I think they didn't want to mess around there. Yeah.
Yeah. They wanted to get it done. And – I think Kentucky remained pretty confident. And then when these other schools come in late, it always felt like to me that Willie wanted to be recruited a little bit more. Now that's just kind of a gut feeling and this lines up with it. But I think the reason why I'm with you ultimately, it's just like, I feel like Vince has done this before. I've just got to, if there's one person on this coaching staff that I'm going to put some trust in, who's, it's his position room for an in-state kid. If anybody's going to get it done and hold these schools off, it's going to be Vince. And it would cap off his best recruiting class, without a doubt. I mean, we can go through it all. We're going to go through it all on Wednesday, but like B-Rob, Teron Nichols, the Smith twins. I mean, like he's doing some heavy, heavy lifting here.
Absolutely.
And you know what? That's probably why Willie, I don't want to say became an afterthought, but you know, like that's probably why he wasn't getting recruited as hard as he probably would have liked. So I ultimately, you know, there was some report from the Tennessee 24/7 guy that he left early from his official visit. And, you know, there was maybe things weren't as sunshine and rosy as they initially thought down there. So you're not getting a confident bunch that's ready to talk a bunch of smack coming off the heels of that visit. And I think it's because they know that it's going to be tough. They've kind of teed it up for a flip, but it Vince, this is where you make your money, buddy. Right? This is where he earns his rep, is holding on to guys like this late. Because the one thing too, like it is we've seen this happen before where, you know, schools are pulling late for some of his guys and he's able to hold on.
Yeah, it's happened before, right?
Yeah.
But Vince did just do some chest pounding for the Jordan Dingle development. Yep. And so, I mean, there's definitely a recruiting rivalry, I think, between him and that Tennessee staff. I think that's pretty apparent. And we'll see how it shakes out.
The Tennessee fans just calling him
he's not a popular guy on the VolQuest General Quarters message board. Not a popular
like
guy.
Him.
No.
Which, by the way, we're doing a 50% off sale right now for an annual sub. Like, it's a lot of fun. Just hop on. You can read stuff like the VolQuest message board. I haven't hopped on. What's happening over there in Huskerland? I forgot what they call it. Are they all, like, just taking a victory lap today after we got the poem from Dylan Rayola? What a frickin' gosh.
I haven't seen that yet. I was a little busy stuff at the house when that all popped off.
Right,
So I'll dig in that tonight probably. I'm interested in when the money gets leaked out, how much they're paying him. Like,
well,
what's the coin here?
Is it Nico money?
I don't think that's happening again. I think that was kind of a
one-off.
I mean, and you saw how the Rashada one just kind of totally fell apart. I don't think we're get into that anymore, but it's definitely probably a lot to getting there. And then down the road when he's a starter, there's probably some incentives in the contract, I would imagine.
Because that's like they talk about the asking price for Cam Ward being in the millions. Let's just 1 to 4. We'll just call it 1.5 for Cam Ward.
Yeah, what I would say one and change, a little bit of change. I wouldn't say it's closer to one than it is two.
Yeah. So what do we think it would be for Rayola? Like,
I mean, Nebraska, number one, Nebraska was desperate. It's the number one quarterback in the country.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to Georgia. Ask Mark Stoops about Georgia. There's obviously some coin there I would have to think 3-4 million.
But I think some of that is down the road, though.
Yeah, I'm talking total.
Like, right.
But there is definitely, you sign this line, you're getting a lump sum in.
Yes.
Some of kickbacks in Lincoln, Nebraska. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He might own a hotel down there.
Well, he can just move in with his uncle.
And then they had the car dealership tomfoolery with Kyle McCord, where he was going to sign there and he was going to have this big deal with that car dealership.
I think that was a fake. I think it was a fake.
Oh, okay.
Because they were going to call it the Honda McCord. Yeah, I saw that and laughed, and then I realized, I was like, wait, I don't think this is real.
Could have. I mean,
there's a lot happening right now. Like, it's easy to get got this time of the year. And one thing we're not going to get.
Could have been O'Shea Chevrolet, for all I know. A little Giants reference there.
Oh, man. We need to make one more reference to our friends at Game Time. If you want to eat toast, if you want to drink Cherubundi, I think that they're still a sponsor of a bowl game. If you want,
they're the Boca Raton. I'm not sure if they still are the Boca Raton sponsor.
Well, if you want to slay some taxes, get down to the Gator Bowl. There's a lot of bowl games. Go to watch the Cats hang 100,000 on the cards Thursday night. Download the Game Time app. It's the fastest, easiest way to get last-minute ticket deals. I'm sure Louisville fans, they don't want to go watch their team get killed. So just get on the Game Time app, download it. It's really easy. Two simple taps, bada boom, bada bing. Your tickets are right there on your phone, and when you use promo code KSR, you're going to get $20 off your first purchase. Give the gift of tickets this holiday season with our friends at Game Time. Whether you're going to the Shane Gillis show, I know a lot of folks went to that over the weekend. You want to go see a concert, whatever it might be, Game Time, they've got you covered. And of course, with bowl season. Gosh, the bowls, they're just so good.
Nick,
so,
I'm reading this poem right now, and this is something.
Yeah, I told you. It's something. It is. It's not as amazing as the what you're going to get when you get tickets at Game Time, but it's close. It's very close. Game Time, promo code KSR, $20 off your first purchase. Do you want to read it for us, Luckett? Do you want a dramatic reading?
Yeah. In the realm of college dreams where purpose takes flight, enter Dylan Rayola, crafting his narrative in the night. Once lured by Georgia, where powerhouse glory gleamed, yet Nebraska's purpose in his heart brightly beamed. In the scarlet and cream, I had no idea they were scarlet and cream, where legacies entwine, Dylan, like Rogers, Rozier, and Crouch, a hero in the line. No longer a cog in some powerhouse machine. Take that, Georgia. But a quarterback with an even grander ambition unseen. So fellow fans await with hope in the air for Dylan to choose, his purpose to declare. In a weekend's decision, destiny calls to fulfill his purpose, where a new dynasty enthralls. The best part about this is he talks about the cogs in the Nebraska machine. He talks about Rogers, Rozier, and Crouch when Nebraska was just shitting out 500-yard rushing games. And then he says, I'm not a cog in a powerhouse machine. Okay. Well, those guys you just read were cogs in a machine.
You think he had Scott Frost's name in there, and they were like, no, but you got to take that out. we can't mention his name anymore around here.
Oh.
Oh, man. That's,
Marcus Satterfield, man. Like, these five-star quarterbacks just keep falling to him out of nowhere. Who would have thunk it?
I'm sure it's going to end well for him. Speaking of ending well, Kentucky's got a receivers coach. They don't, but they do. This guy, I think we talked about him last week on this show. I don't know. We've been talking about him forever, as we alluded to. But Dykeel Shorts, that got leaked. Lucky was sitting there. I don't know. Were you talking to Leary when Football Scoop leaked that out? Because I know all the reporter, like, all the
it
people
was actually,
on the
it was,
were pissed.
It was during a break.
In between but, people talking. Yeah.
Yeah. And then someone walked in right away. So, yeah, I mean,
but
yeah.
It's they had him in this weekend, did the formal interview process. I'm sure it'll be finalized in no time. But what was nice is you could do the thing. Like, we asked Cohen, what do you think about your quarterback room? So he could talk about his quarterbacks, just describe them without mentioning by that name.
What a stupid sport this is. This is
so
stupid.
And then he's in there, and we're asking about here's Dykeel. Why do you like Dykeel Shorts, but not, don't say him by name.
Right.
Because it's not finalized. And it was young guy who can not only show, like, hey, I played, I was really damn good recently. Like, when you guys were playing football, you know, 7 years ago or something like that. I think he was West Virginia's leading receiver in 2015 and finished top five in program history there. Went and was assistant with Holgo and then followed Holgerson to the Cougs in Houston. But the other part of it that I thought was really important was Cohen, essentially half of his response was talking about the discipline on the room, the organization, and getting everybody on the same, pulling the same rope. And the chat was talking about it a lot earlier. There was one guy who sent like 5 messages in, like, we've got Dan and Barry, and why are we getting more receivers? A, they needed bodies, but B, they needed like legit competition there, legit guys that you can count on. And so one thing you cannot say that Kentucky's not trying to do, they are investing in this passing game. They're investing dollars on the quarterback and the wide receivers. They got to do it with a guy who can get all those receivers, right, like on the same page, pulling the same rope, heads out of asses, hands on balls, in the same direction. They believe this is a guy for the job. I know you can take multiple routes here, but as far as which way you should go, but I think the developmental route was the right path. Now, the only question is, Tank Dell was awesome when he was there, but Tank Dell is awesome. Like, he could have been Rookie of the Year. Him and his quarterback were the two best rookies on offense this year before he got hurt. So it's like, how much was that shorts? How much was it just Tank Dell being awesome? I don't know. But if he can be that developmental coach, that disciplined developmental coach, then it's a great hire. But, like, it has to work because you can't get a bad rate of return on all of this investing you're doing in the wide receiver room. You just can't.
Yeah, I think you hit most of that nail on the head. I think another part, Nick, they couldn't spend a lot of money on this hire, right?
Right.
So they shrink your talent or job pool. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where you're at. You'll get a guy who I think Houston retained him. It was never really announced that they retained him. Now, at least I didn't see that. So he was kind of a free agent. Nick, last time they hired somebody off this Hogerson train, or it was a god daggone disaster. So,
well, if it would have worked, you would have loved it.
So let's try to avoid that. But I think you mentioned credentials. I think there's reasons to like that. To me, what that is I'm hearing the receivers just didn't listen to Woodward, is what I'm hearing. In between the lines there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they thought, you know, because this guy was just QC, and then you had a lot of young, you necessarily didn't have mature leadership in that room, just because you had a lot of young guys in there. And you had a guy who was a first-time receivers coach, so this guy, even though he's young, he's more experienced in that regard. And, like, the playing that, because that to me, what that says it all. The guy, I want a guy, like, wanting a person who played that position. Because you're coming from a guy who didn't play the position, who played quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think there's that there. I think there's definitely, maybe, it's going to be an interesting spring, I think, for that group.
That's also been the only hire that really worked for him. And, like, if Lamar Thomas would have just worked more, like, if he really wanted to do it, then that might have been able to work. He got those guys playing pretty good ball.
Yeah, you just don't, I mean,
but how much
you just don't know. The track record's not good here.
No.
Hiring receiver coach. So, I mean, hopefully this can be the, you know, the slump buster. But you're right. They really do need him. They need him to be good, and they need this group to play well.
So, Baker is hollering at you. Do we take questions, or do you gotta tap in?
We can go for a little bit.
Is it just gonna be one of those nights? I know those nights. Sometimes it's just one of those nights. It just sucks.
I think we'll be fine. We can go for a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get some questions on KS board. Hey, it's our pal Derek Terry. We used to talk to him all the time in those media sessions, and then we would be bitching and moaning in between about, you know, the job, right? That's what we do. Essentially, would we like National Signing Day return to February? Or actually, is it good to have these classes locked up earlier? So I'll give you 3 options, Luckett. December, August, or February.
You have to pick one? It's only one?
Only one.
I just don't know how you could do. I like the August idea, but I don't think you could sign a whole class thing because they still got a full year of school left.
If they did August and February, it could work.
Yeah, I think that's the move. I think that would be the best route.
Did you see Chip Kelly's whole deal?
I did. Do you about the appointing the commissioner?
It's one of those things where he was joking in between talking about, like, I haven't thought of this at all. But, like, it's actually pretty well thought out, right? Like, where he's just like, why should everybody have to do something different just when football's different than all the other sports? Like, essentially it was just like, let's have all 130 football teams play each other. You have your own divisions. You can even sponsor the divisions. Call it the Nike division or whatever. You know, he's like, I don't. And it was pretty good. And he's like, and then you have commissioners.
Duke's Mayo Conference.
You have commissioners. You have different levels. It's a good clip. If you haven't seen it yet, go out there. I'll put it in first.
Yeah. I mean, sport is, it's a year-round sport now. Mm. Like, there's stuff going, like, let's treat it like that and space stuff out. We joke on the conference release show, but I think that's good for the sport. And, like, it drums up interest. I don't know that we need to do it in December, like, when stuff is going on. Yeah, like, if you put that in February, Nick.
Yeah, we're all watching. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we don't get Oreos for 3 months, and then, oh, here's 8 Oreos you can eat. You're like, hell yeah, let's dive in. And I just think they could space it out and just make it better instead of, like, just everything is just shoved into this small window of time right now, and it's information overload. It's hard for people to follow.
The sport would not only would it be better served if you could somehow stretch it out, but you'd probably get a better product on the field if it wasn't just like the entire roster had to be assembled in a 3-week window.
Yeah, and it'd be easier to stay in the news in the public light, but not necessarily for a bad reason. Now they're in a public light because look at these 800 things are going on, these idiots over here in college football.
Yeah, we're reading Dylan Rayola poems after Western Kentucky celebrated in toast. Like, it's a crazy ass sport, and we absolutely love it. Steph's wanted to know why do we have any more secret visitors? And also, why does it feel like defensive targets are being kept more hush compared to the guys on offense? I just think defensive guys. So, in general, like some of the players I've known that have gone through the transfer portal experience, when I talk to them about it, essentially, most of them, they want to just be as businesslike and as quick in and out as possible because you don't want to get stuck, hung out to dry. Thing is, with offensive players, like, we knew about a lot of those guys because they were wide receivers. Wide receivers like to talk. I mean, Raymond Cottrell's got a visit video before he's going, right? Like, it's just how they operate. They're a little bit different than some of these offensive linemen. So I think some of it is just by the very nature of it. And the other part of it, too, like, we heard Stoops talking about it. They weren't going to be big spenders on the defensive side of the ball. They said as much. And it's because this signing day on Wednesday that we're going to spend an hour talking about on Wednesday on 11 personnel, there's some good ball players on that defensive side of the football that are going to play right away. They recruited well on defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's real reasons to get excited about the defensive class. I even think the secondary, Nick, you know, Terry Nichols was a huge win, but I even think these other guys, specifically Quasheed Scott and Cam Dooley, are kind of late bloomers in this class. And so you've got to give them credit, I think, for getting in on both those guys early and getting in those recruitments early. Quasheed Scott on 3 has him as a 4-star prospect, top 300 player. Cam Dooley, 247 Sports, named a 4-star prospect today. So these are guys who can play. And I think these are going to be really good finds. And you team them with Nichols and Quavo Marshall, who's a cornerback who has the size that I think they covet. So I even think the secondary is something to get excited about. And then the front 7, man, you know, those Smith twins, dude, they're players. And that Gerard Smith is a badass, man. He's a badass.
I'm curious how Gerard is like, what? Because he's I just don't know what, like, some of them I'm like, well, where do you line up? But as we found out with Deion, like, it don't matter. Just line his ass up. Like, he'll go.
Yeah. There's, I mean, I get some Josh Pascal vibes with that dude. He's just straight kick ass, man. So he's going to figure it out, and they're going to figure it out.
Well, I'm getting some Jordan Wright from his brother, too, where it's just like, something, I don't know what
it's going to be. As a player, yeah, I think that's a good, I don't think that's a bad comp.
He's just like, he just is in the, some awesome play is going to happen, and he's going to be in the middle of it. Like, that's just what he does.
He's, long, fluid athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Who may, pass rush, we'll see. But he's got some playmaking knack to his game. I think he's going to play next year. I mean, I'd get excited about them. Brian Robinson, I'm interested to see kind of how big he gets and where he ends up going.
He's gotten a lot bigger since we saw him. Were you at the camp with me when he was there?
Yeah. His physique is totally different than it was.
And like, I know some people might like the way he tweets, right, when he's like showing up. But like, no, like that produces results. And it's no joke what that kid's done just in a year and a half, right? And I'm sure that's, just scratching the surface. Jason wanted to know, the Smiths are, in fact, enrolling early. We saw one of them, Jacob, the edge. His arm's in a sling. He had some off-season shoulder surgery, but they're expecting him to be around for spring practice. I don't know how. It might be a non-contact sort of deal, but he'll be there early. Teron Nichols, too. Like, that guy.
Yeah.
He might just end up being their best secondary recruit in a long time. And that's one thing that, we mentioned off the top. I'm just kind of bummed that, I don't have these, when Freddie would do that signing day show, he would just throw these awesome facts at you. But, especially the stats about top 10 kids from the state of Ohio, because Nichols and B-Rob are both top 10s of the state of Ohio. Edwards was one of them. Bone was one of them. They haven't got many. And both of those guys checked those boxes.
Yeah, Kennard was up there.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, JT Davis on the board wants to know who's funding UofL's portal operation. Who is this Zach Soskin dude who's all of a sudden being mentioned in their recruiting class? That guy's
look
hilarious.
Look at their high school class. And you will see where they are valuing or committing resources.
Yeah. Stoops got asked about ahead of the Governor's Cup. Like, does this game affect recruiting? And, he even said it out loud. Like, they're recruiting a lot of portal guys. Like, Louisville's doing its heavy lifting in the portal.
Yes.
And another point that Stoops and them are making, too. They can get away with that a lot easier in the ACC, where your trench talent doesn't matter as much, right? Like, they can have years like they had this year when the schedule lines up, where they don't have to. And you know what? They got good offensive line play because Brian Hudson was a nice hit for him. He had a COVID year, so they got 2 years out for him. I do know that the Tyler Shuck, it's a big gamble with the injury-prone guy.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I mean, and we saw.
And then I think he would never really wow you even when he was in the lineup.
Right.
I think it's fair to say he left Oregon for a reason. Texas Tech, it was never really, I would say, he had some bright moments, but never something crazy. And then receiver wise, Colin Lacey and Ja'Cory Brooks were two good recruiting wins for them.
Yeah.
Both those guys are probably going to be pretty good.
The idiot in the chat, like, oh, we got Alabama's best receiver. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm sure Alabama is crying crocodile tears because that kid left. Like, come on. He had a good year in 22. It was a good year. Good for him. He's a good player. And you know what? He's one of the few guys that they, like a Power 5 guy that was a legit.
That's proven. Star yeah, power. That's played. Right.
Yeah.
They got Jimmy Calloway last year, but he didn't play at Tennessee.
And he was still, like, even just a three-star recruit out of high school,
Yeah.
Most of the guys, they're leveling up. Who have but a even lot like, of productivity,
Even, like, Grindo didn't really play at Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Now, they got Storm Duck, Cam Kelly from ACC schools, guys that it played.
Devin Neal at Baylor, he played, and he was pretty good for them this year.
Really, yeah, but Devin Neal was more of like a backup safety. And even like Cam Kelly and Storm Duck were kind of lucky because Duck went to Penn State and was like, oh, they got first-round dudes here. I'm not going to play.
Yeah.
And so he entered the portal, and then Kelly was at Virginia and was like, these dudes stink at football, so I'm going to go play at Louisville. And that's kind of how – and those both those guys were ended up being good for them. But most – there and then Brownlee was good, but he was – I don't – Florida State was a little weird at the time. But they're doing a good job. You can't – like, they found their model right now, and it's working.
And their biggest get was just getting Jelani back. That was huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's a stud.
Yeah, he's very good. We'll certainly spend some time in the NFL, which I think this was one piece of news I almost let us overlook like it because there has been a lot of it. But Jordan Dingle, he dipped his toe in the portal, and he dipped back in, returns to Kentucky. Isaiah Cummings did commit to Louisville. I think a lot of people saw that coming. It didn't happen right away, but Louisville's – they could use somebody for his run. I mean, Joey Gatewood caught multiple touchdowns for him this year. So
three tight ends Louisville has added out of the portal. Yeah.
With Dingle though, it was funny talking to Bates today about it because that. I mean, how many was Walker Wood one of the few portal guys that just decided to stay? Like, I don't remember. Can you remember any portal guys that entered for UK and then removed their name and came back? Like, I don't – it's a Bo very Allen? Short list. Yeah, I mean, Bo
no,
Allen.
No, I don't – not off the top of my head, no. I think this is
– they had two in 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah. Like, I think this is special case. The Dingle thing, Nick, is just kind of a sign of the times.
Right.
You do wonder, like, how does that work in the locker room, right? The dude said, deuces – I'm out of here. Goes to Tennessee, comes back. How does it work? You know. But
especially
I think it's just a sign of the
times. Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
But that's essentially the way Bates put it. And I was like, so did you bust him up any? And he was like, I'll leave that to Kattis. So the ass kicker's going to take care of it, Lockett. Don't you worry.
Yeah, it's just, I what did Cohen say they were looking for in the portal, right? Leadership. Kind of accountability, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, now they needed him. You know, tight end depth was looking thin, and that's an attrition position.
Yeah, yeah.
So you definitely need him. He's a good player.
Somebody's injured in there. They're going to get
– it's just a unique situation. Like, I imagine telling, I think, 2010 Mark Stoops that. I mean, what would his big reaction be, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just different.
Sport is – oh, man, it's crazy. It's crazy. And this has been a crazy episode. It's only going to get crazier here in the next 48 hours. I need to go write about some of these kids, get some stuff ready for Wednesday. Got some stuff for tomorrow. There's just a lot happening. So I hope you all join us for us all. It's going to be a fun ride. It's going to be a fun ride over the next 48 hours. And then, man... Roosters is calling Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Thursday, it actually times out well having the UK-UofL game on Thursday because then it's like, oh, we can kind of loosen up the belt a little bit and just watch the Cats hang a thousand on the Cards. And I know we don't want to talk basketball, but that was freaking awesome Saturday.
It was a fun game.
Yeah.
I had a good Saturday. I have to say, it's a good Saturday at the Luckett House.
Oh, won all the bets.
The bets cash. I got Joe Montana, Jake Browning again. It was just a fun experience all the way around.
Have you just like played that video on a loop of him throwing his helmet and said, that's what y'all get for cutting my ass?
Oh, I sent someone last night. I didn't know I had a psychopath at quarterback. I mean, sign me up. I saw someone tweeted at that's it. I'm buying the jersey right now. So just enjoying it. Did not enjoy the offsides call. Took away pick six. Did not love that. But other than that, it was a fun hour and change there in the fourth quarter.
Oh, man. To have that, like, run right into the basketball game, too, and then Kentucky's up big and, you know.
It
got a little tight there at the end. But, like,
to
man,
see that and
right.
then just, you know, see Mitch Trubisky football follow that up. I mean, it was just – it was just Fun Saturday at the Lincoln House, I have to say.
You know, the Steelers fan help group at the between me, Keith Farmer, and Jeff Drummond, it's more practices. It's not a very good place right now.
Yeah, I mean,
Drummond's already talking about like wanting Justin Fields, and I'm like, Jeff, we just had one Bears reject. Go and suck it up for a game. Do you really want to trade for another one? Like,
get Duck Hodges on the bat phone.
God, what? Yeah. Hey, the playoff race is a lot of fun, though.
Like, yeah, it's a total nightmare.
You talked about it. Like, yeah, trying to figure out the scenarios isn't fun. Like, I'm just kind of enjoying. And that, like, I just hopped on the Steelers bandwagon. I don't care that much. So, like, just being able to embrace the playoff ride these last couple weeks where it's just, like, playoff potential team versus playoff potential team. Like, man, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I do feel for the Jags, man, because – they put a clinic on Sunday Night Football on how to just blank up scoring. He had four scoring opportunities and got 0 points in the first half.
As someone who might have played that over, was not super thrilled with how that all played out. But, yeah, it was just, God, what are y'all doing?
Doink a field goal, you hook one. Trevor Lawrence just drops a ball.
Yeah,
that
was,
17, just go down. You're not getting the first down, dude. They're spiraling there.
And then Ridley
might
had
even lose the division now.
Ridley had that touchdown pass, and he kind of juggles it. So, yeah, it was just – it was like, man, what are y'all – yeah, I know y'all – I felt like most of that game I was like, Jags are going to win this.
Yeah.
Like, even at halftime, I felt like
the
they're going to win this.
The defense was playing well. Yeah. Like, and it just – gosh, I had three in the hook, too, and you're like, well, if they just make some field goals.
Yeah.
Sport. This is a great sport. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. I don't know. Maybe we can try to break down some bowl games tomorrow, Luckett. Maybe we can get some plays together for next week. I don't know. Maybe we can try find some time.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah. Either way, y'all better go Cats and y'all better go Kroger.